Me and Pastor Jerry have been talking about it, and we've been taking different angles and aspects of it. And prayer is a school. You know, you teach us to pray. In other words, it's a school. But the thing about this school is that there are never any graduates. We are just going to the next level. Amen. And until we see God literally face to face, we might think about graduating from prayer, but even then we'll learn more and more about the Lord as eternity rolls, as eternity goes on. We'll be learning about Him, sitting at His feet, worshiping Him, discovering Him, knowing Him. We are finite. He is infinite. And so prayer is, we can never exhaust the subject, never exhaust the subject. And that's what I've been talking about, a kaleidoscope. There's just different aspects of prayer. And sometimes we struggle with our prayer life and saying the same things, repeating ourselves, not really getting excited about it because we just don't really realize the different avenues to make it exciting. You know, prayer is like anything else. You can make it exciting, or you can just go through the rut and the road and the ritual. But I want my prayer life to be vibrant and alive and fresh. And when I get stuck in one area, I can just pivot over somewhere else and add a little fire to the fuel of prayer. Can you say amen tonight? And so, you know, there's meditation, there's inner meditation, just thinking about God and thinking and praying about God silently and listening to God, journaling, two-way conversation. All of these are aspects of prayer that I'm going to be hitting on in the next few Wednesday nights, and who knows when we'll stop. And I want to talk to you tonight about, however, one aspect of prayer that you don't really hear a lot preached about. It's alluded to, and we hit on it, but there are biblical examples of praying for our nation. God is concerned about people. He is concerned about, when Nineveh was going to be destroyed in the Old Testament, and Jonah preached, and God spared the city. In the last chapter of Jonah, Jonah had a spiritual crisis, and he got really mad at something that really didn't make a difference. And God told Jonah, you can go back in the last chapter of Jonah, and he said, Jonah, you got so upset about this little gourd that fell to the ground. You got so upset about that, and yet I didn't see that same passion when I called you to go to Nineveh. And he said, don't you think I've got more feelings for a city of a million souls or 100,000 souls than for some little thing that really don't matter? Now, I'm really paraphrasing that last chapter. But God is concerned about people. He is pleased when things go good and well. His goal is for us to live blessed and favored. His goal is for the land to be a place where He can pour out His blessings. And so it is very much in order to pray for a nation, and specifically to pray for our nation. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 33 and also Psalm 33 tonight as I talk to you tonight about praying for our nation. And I want to talk to you about three things: prophetic prayers over our nation, or over a nation, presidential prayers over a nation, and personal prayers over a nation. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, this is Moses praying, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Here Moses is praying to know God greater, to know God more intimately. But he's not just talking about for himself. He's also saying, Lord, I want everyone. I want our nation to be touched by your glory. I want our nation to be that which you can pour out your blessings on. I want our nation to have the touch and the favor of God. You know, if I get personally blessed and the whole country's going to hell, I might not can enjoy it. You know, there might not be a mall to go shopping to. There might not be a public beach to go lay on if the nation's all crazy and there's gangs out there. So really, for the good of the nation and the good of the church kind of go hand in hand. And we can be the church without the nation. But I'll tell you what, the nation can never be the nation without the church. And so Moses prayed for the nation. And I'll get to that in just a moment. And Psalm 33:12. The famous classic text. Read it out loud with me. This is so familiar. Read it out loud. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Thank you tonight, Father, for the reading of the scriptures. Thank you for the call to prayer from our pastor, from other pastors, from Franklin Graham. And Lord, help us in the kaleidoscope of prayer to focus in on this forgotten, often neglected, powerful aspect of you initiating the prayers of a nation and you responding to those prayers, because we know they have made a difference and will make a difference to the glory of God. And we give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Here we find in Exodus 33, the great spiritual father Moses praying for the nation. And our nation needs prayer. When the first colonists in 1607 arrived, the first thing the 120 immigrants did was to build and erect a wooden cross and then prayed that God would bless this new land. And we need to remember that. John Quincy Adams said, who was the fifth president of the United States and the son of the second president of the United States, and the only president to be chosen by the House of Representatives, by the way, just very interesting that if our election is not settled by a certain time, then the House of Representatives chooses the president. And help us all. And because we know who runs that. But John Quincy Adams said the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. I'm going to repeat that. It connected in one bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. 50 of the 55 men who wrote the Constitution were evangelical Christians. Most were ordained clergy. Someone said in the Constitutional Convention it was more of a revival than it was anything else. It was a bunch of preachers. George Washington, we know, prayed in the snow at Valley Forge. Maybe one day you get some time, go to the library and check out Valley Forge, what happened there and how close we came to losing. And George Washington turned to those spiritual weapons that turned the tide of our young fledgling nation. And when a stranger came to the Continental Congress and wanted to know which one was George Washington, a friend said, he's easy to spot. When Congress begins to pray, Washington will be the tall man who will go to his knees. In 1845, President Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. President Abraham Lincoln said, in regards to this great book, I have this but to say, it is the best gift God has given. In 1913, President Woodrow Wilson said, America was born to exemplify the devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived through the Holy Scriptures. In 1954, Congress adopted the phrase, under God, to be added to the, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance didn't say one nation under God. It says one nation, indivisible. Some of you might be old enough to remember that, but it was added, and I only remember, thank the Lord, one nation under God. And I hope that we don't remove that. In July of 1956, by joint resolution, Congress adopted a bill providing that the national motto of the United States of America is this, in God we trust. Why did they do that? Because in the 50s, the greatest threat to the world was communism. Russian communism, the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 that started with a Jew by the name of Karl Marx, who was estranged from his father and wrote the Communist Manifesto. It got basically said that the reason there's poverty in the world is because a few rich people have all the money and the rest of the people don't. So the answer to that is take all the money from the rich people and everybody live in the same color house. Everybody drive the same type of car, even though they didn't have cars back then. But everybody have everything equally. And so everybody will be happy. And how ludicrous that was. And so when the Bolsheviks took over Russia and they killed Nicholas Alexander II, they killed him and murdered his family. And they raided the palace and they took all the wealthy people's homes and they began to put poor people in everybody's homes. So if you had a home there that you bought and paid for, the government came in and said, we're going to have people live in this room. How would you like for your house? Should somebody be living in one bedroom and another bedroom and another bedroom because it's not your house. You can't own anything. The government owns it all. And oh, that worked really good. Oh, it worked good for seemingly good, quote unquote good. It led to mass murder. It led to mass suicide. And they outlawed the church. The state was God. They said, we're atheist. And if you believed in God and we could not go to church. And Karl Marx believed that religion was the opiate of the people, that religion didn't do any good. It just made people feel good about their poverty. And if they didn't have religion, they would want more. And therefore they would look to the state to meet that need. And so it went through all those years through the '60s, through the '70s. And they walked around and all they did was build weapons and they enslaved their people. And all the while their people would look to America and just want a pair of blue jeans. Those kids in America and Russia long for just cologne. They didn't have the stuff that we have, and they didn't have God. And so in 1954, Congress said, we are not a communist nation. We are a nation, and we are one nation under God. That's why they put that in the 50s. Because they knew that if the communists took over the world, it would be a world without God, and therefore a world without freedom. But somewhere things begin to turn. The courts have always been tried to be packed with extra liberals. Liberals who don't believe in the Bible. Liberals who don't believe in Christianity. Liberals who believe in all kinds of lifestyles that not only should be tolerated, but promoted. And so you had the liberal judges, Earl Warren and all of them back in the with FDR and almost going to socialism, and everybody loves Social Security, and that's okay, that's fine, there's not bad in some of those things, and yet those liberals began to turn against prayer in school. So in 1962 they said that you can't have prayer in school, and then in 1973 the liberal court said, we will have abortion on demand. And that's what this is all about. And so America, in 2003, they removed the Ten Commandments from the courtroom in Alabama. 2004, Massachusetts and California legalized gay marriage. They were two states gay people could get married at. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who just passed away, was the first Supreme Court justice, and I'm sure others did it, the first to perform a same-sex union marriage. And why in the world Christians are getting on Facebook lauding her just scratches my head right there. Well, she was a good person, and she did this. Adolf Hitler did some good public things as well, but we don't praise Adolf Hitler, do we? For all the good he did, it becomes moot when 6 million Jews died. And for all the good that anybody does is moot when they stand up for the killing of innocent babies on the day of judgment. You say, you're a radical, Pastor. No, I'm not radical enough, to be honest with you. We've got to stand up today. The radicals have taken over. We're the ones that are saying, amen. Going to get a witness out there. Hallelujah, somebody. And we're seeing a fight for our nation. And now prayer has been taken out of school. And what has been put into schools is metal detectors and police cars. And Columbine and Paducah and Jonesboro. There's been a 560% increase in violent crime. More than 400% increase in illegitimate births. Listen, I remember when I was growing up that it was, John and Jane Doe. John and Jane were sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, and here comes John and Jane with a baby carriage. I remember that. I remember when I was a young kid that people got married and then they moved in together and then they had children when they got stable income. And one of the reasons that we're having such problems today is so many people are having children and there's no financial support, no father there to correct them. I remember I was pastoring a church one time and we had a young lady that had three wild kids. And I mean, when they hit the back door of the church, they went three different ways. They came over to our house to visit and we just loved on those kids and everything. And I remember she was trying to get the kids into the car and I watched her. She was like, Sally, get in the car. And by the time Sally got straightened out, little Johnny was running around the car. She said, now, Johnny, you get in the car. And then Sally had started messing up again. And forget Suey over here. And I looked at her and I just watched and I said, she needs a man. She needs a man with like a tattoo or something. And she needs a man that's that says, get in that car or else. Now, I'm not so sure about the tattoo now. I'm just trying to say she needed a man to, every mother needs a father and every father needs a mother or else kids are running all over. A lot of this protesting in the streets is a bunch of kids that's never had their hind parts exercised and dads sleep with their mother and then go around. And yet the mothers let themselves get pregnant. They let themselves go to bed when men is not going to take care of them. Folks, it is time we have a national revival. It is time to preach good old fashioned sanctification. I'm telling you, we as the church used to talk about dress codes. One of the reasons we have so much lust in the world is because people don't know how to dress anymore. They dress with everything showing, everything. I remember when I was growing up that they used, the big thing was wearing shorts. Oh, in the Pentecostal church, you better not wear shorts. But I was more of the liberal mind. I was like, well, as long as they're not short shorts. And I remember you used to say, as long as they're not short shorts. Well, brother, you watch the average youth group now, and I'm telling you, they are short shorts in the church. And where are the fathers? If I had a daughter and I saw her with all of those legs showing, I would break my heart. I would say, honey, there are predators out there. There are men trying to lust out there. And that's how rape and stuff can be avoided. Cover yourself. And you can still be in the, you know, dress cool. You can still, I'm not talking about dress like somebody in the 30s. I'm not talking about wearing a skirt all the way to your knees. But I'm telling you, Daisy Duke, short shorts, low cut shirts. I'm just getting in all kinds of trouble tonight. I can feel it. I got to pray, folks. And you grandparents, do you ever talk to your granddaughters about dressing? I mean, two-piece thong bikinis? Are you kidding me? Put your arms around them and say, honey, grandma may be old-fashioned, but there's some evil people out there in those hotels looking at you while you're out there on the beach. And they got binoculars. And there's a way to have an appropriate, balanced way to present yourself. And I'm not just talking about the girls, the boys. And they're strapping them muscles and flexing this and flexing that. Friends, we got to get back to holiness one more time. Holiness will still bring a blessing. Amen. You keep yourself, you date someone, you meet someone maybe in church or in a prayer meeting or a Sunday school, God forbid, and you find out that they serve the Lord, you serve the Lord, you go out on a date, and you don't jump into bed the first time you see each other, but you wait until you're married. Glory to God. But see, if I were a man or let's just say if I were a woman, it would impress me if the man I married is willing and loves me enough to wait for me for months, and maybe a year or two until we get married. Folks, where is that preaching? Where is that testimony? Where are we missing it? God, help us in our nation. It is time to get back to the old black book, because I'm going to tell you, this sin is a sin, and God will. Some of the reasons we're going through the COVID-19 crisis, you mean to tell me 24,000 babies will be killed every year in North Carolina, and God's going to just sit back and let us do what we want to do. No, sir. This is just a little slap on the wrist. We had better get into God. We had better repent. We had better get back on fire for God, or else, brother, the next wave that comes may hit us even worse. We'll still be the church. We'll still preach the word. But it breaks my heart when I see a nation that is going away from God. And I have no idea where the last 10 minutes of this just came from. Look at where we are. Columbine High School. 30% of all births illegitimate. You see, someone said America is rolling in luxuries, reveling in excesses, reeling in drunkenness, revolting in morals, and rotten in sin. You mean to tell me you're going to watch Miley Cyrus get up on a stage and twerk and then watch your teenagers and grandchildren applaud that? No, sir. You've got to stand up and say, that's wrong. I don't want my child to be a Miley Cyrus. Some of you don't have no idea what Miley Cyrus is. That's all right. I would say YouTube it, but you might see things you don't want to see. He went on to say that our nation is perfumed with an aroma of religion and culture, but it is only spiritual formaldehyde disguising the deadly decay of a society on its last legs. What's the answer? Prayers. Let's look at the prophetic prayers for nations. Moses interceded. Look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 33. What time do you want me to stop, Pastor? Okay. All right. Exodus 32 and 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto people, you've sinned a great sin, and now I'll go up to the Lord. Peradventure I shall make atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said to Moses, whosoever sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses looked at the nation that had built golden calves and they had forsaken the Lord. And Moses got before God and said, God, forgive the sin of our nation. He even got radical. He said, if you blot them out, blot me out. Now, that's some serious burden praying that I don't think the church has quite got to yet. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46, if they sin against thee, for there's no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry away captives into the land of the enemy far or near. Verse 47, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, and we've committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all thy heart, with all thy soul, in the land of their enemies, which you led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward this land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I built for thy name. Verse 49, hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions whereof they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who've carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. So here is Solomon praying for his nation. If they sin, if they mess up, and you remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, but look at 2 Chronicles 7:12. Look, if we can get there. 2 Chronicles 7:12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon and said, I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, that's called drought. Or if I send pestilence, command the locusts to devour the land. Or if I send a pestilence among my people, stop right there. God said, if I send a pestilence, if I hold the rain, we're quick to say that this or that is not the judgment of God. I'm not ever going to quit to say what is or not the judgment of God. People say 9/11, that wasn't the judgment of God. I'm not going to say it was. I'm not going to say it wasn't. I'm just going to tell you this. Some Arabs killed a lot of people, and we can't blame God for the killing of innocent life in the sense that God takes away innocent life. But I will tell you this. God has a hand of protection. And if he, because of our sins, removes that hand of protection, you can call it the judgment of God or you can call it whatever, we're in trouble. He said, if I send pestilence, if I send drought, And people don't know where they're going to get their meals from. People don't know how they're going to pay their mortgages. People don't know what they're going to do with their kids in school. COVID-19. And people are going to start saying, where do we go? What do we do? Guess what? God might just be using that to get our attention. Because there is a God who loves us. And there's a place where the roses never fade. And I'll tell you, this world is not our home. And when we're so focused on money and possessions and things and intrigue, and then we complicate that with sinful lifestyles and parade homosexuality and divorce and rape and incest and murder, and we celebrate and all of that. God says, I'm going to do something to get people's attention. And then he says, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And I'll tell you, a lot of what is the problem is in the church house. You got church members that are half backslid. They spend more money on luxuries than they do on missions. And I know this sounds hard, folks. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just telling you the average church, Christianity in America is backslid. There's not prayer. You call a prayer meeting, you'll get five people. You call a carnival, you get 500. And there's nothing wrong so much with a carnival, but there is something wrong when we don't show up for prayer and we don't do the things that God, when you've got the average Christian that has never even asked their neighbor to come to church, let alone be a witness. You've got the average Christian that has not one time read the Bible through. You've got the average Christian that watches more movies than they read scriptures. And you wonder why there's no power in the church house. I know this is not you and me personally, but I'm just talking about out there generally. And it might be you and me personally. I think I'm going to look at my life. I think I'm going to look within and say, Lord, I need to offer up some prayers for my house and for my life and for my nation. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Come on, give him praise. Let's seek his face. And then Daniel prayed 9:20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Daniel didn't sin. He never sinned. He did, but not that we have recorded. He wasn't perfect. No human is perfect, but he confessed the sins of his nation. Sometimes I'll confess, Lord, forgive us for those abortions. Forgive us for those gay marriages. Forgive us, God, for no-fault divorce, just don't want to get along divorce, because that's a sin, too. I said, that's a sin, too. If you're married, you need to stay married. Well, we don't love each other anymore. Well, fall in love again. Do you know the divorce rate for those who've been divorced and remarried is higher than the first time divorce? I had somebody in Best Buy told me the other day, when I got married the second time, it didn't last long. I didn't realize that the second marriage would have been harder than the first. And I'm like, come on. We need to preach marriage. We need to preach fidelity. I married a woman. You married a man, and you keep those covenant. Well, they're overweight now, and they're not as pretty as somebody, and they don't pay. Well, I think if you're married, you need to keep yourself from getting too overweight for your spouse. You know, they do have to live with you and things like that. So you got to work on that marriage. I don't want to end up being a divorced preacher. Do you, Darnell? Do you want to? Okay. Just checking. Hallelujah. Well, I've run out of time. Prophetic prayers for a nation. And then there are presidential prayers. I was going to read you from different presidents the prayers that they prayed over our nation. Some beautiful prayers. Franklin Roosevelt prayed a powerful prayer when he sent the troops to D-Day, and Harry Truman declared a date of prayer on August the 19th, 1945. Our victory has come with the help of God, he prayed. They began a national day of prayer in 1775. And 1988, President Reagan designated a national day of prayer to be the first Thursday of May. George W. Bush, we remember his prayers and the praying of the World Trade Towers. And I had actually written these prayers down. I was going to read those prayers to you. But how many of you just get the gist of what I'm talking about? Thank God for our presidents. And let me tell you that our current president, Donald J. Trump, who, may I remind you, is up for re-election in just a few weeks. He has our endorsement. Our current president has followed his predecessors in confessing his belief in God's saving power. When the coronavirus pandemic hit America, Trump quickly proclaimed March 14th to be a national day of prayer, reminding us, and this is Donald Trump, quote, "No problem is too big for God to handle." And he says it only the way he can say it. Thank the Lord that in 2016, God answered the prayers of his people. And I believe he wants to do it again in 2020. And we need to pray for the presidency. And we need to pray for the United States Senate. If the other side gets the Senate, then the president cannot put into power judges. And so you need to support Tom Tillis because he's going to support Donald Trump. Now, there was a time when I couldn't say this without fear of losing our tax identification. But thank the Lord they've changed that. And I have no problem endorsing these men. Do I believe everything Tom Tillis stands for? I may disagree with him on some things, but on the majority of things, he's going to stand with President Trump. I was not pleased with him because at first he was trying to work against Trump. But then he realized that wasn't going to get him reelected. And I wouldn't have voted for him either. We need people to stand with our president. And people say, well, President Trump owns casinos. How can you stand with a president on casinos? Well, I think casinos are not good. And I certainly, if he owns a casino, I would suggest not go to it. But I'll tell you this, I do know this, that a President Biden is going to put the most radical liberal judges that'll shut down your church. So the casinos really ain't a big problem. Shutting down the church is. People say, well, we can't choose the lesser of two evils. We can't. But that's exactly what we're going to do and supposed to do. And then, Pastor, come on up. There's the personal prayers of the people. Let me close with this scripture. One last scripture. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Stand with me tonight as we get ready to do some proclamations. I've talked about prophetic prayers and showed you where the prophets prayed for their nation. I've talked to you about presidential prayers where God had raised up our presidents and they prayed for our nation. But I want to talk about personal prayers, your prayers. Well, I'm not the president and I'm not Ezekiel and I'm not Daniel and I'm not Moses, but you are a child of God, aren't you? Is your name written in heaven? Does he not number the hair upon your head? And how I pray in my personal prayer time is I know there's others. Jensen Franklin, praise God for Jensen Franklin and other preachers who are boldly standing up. And some of them are getting a lot of heat from false Christians. And I'll tell you this, I pray like this. I say, Lord, if nobody else in this country is praying, I'm praying, God, that you will spare our country and help this election go the way that will turn our country back to you. But look at Ezekiel chapter 22. And I sought for a what? A group? A committee? A whole region of people? I sought for a man or woman among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap, for where? That I should not destroy it. Unfortunately, he said, I found none. That blows my mind. That means zero times zero, zero. But I'm glad to know here at Westmoreland, he's going to find some people, Pastor, that are praying and standing in the gap. Would you give him a hand of praise and thank God for what he wants to do in our nation?
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we're in the gap. And, Lord, we put together some things here. We're praying for our nation. Lord, we pray for the upcoming election. That's very critical to our nation. Lord, not only our nation, it's very critical to the world. And Lord, I believe that we can pray and we'll vote. We'll seek your guidance, Lord. And we'll stand in the gap, make up the hedge for the land. That's what we've been doing all week, Lord. We're going to continue to do it. We pray for President J. Trump. We pray, Lord, for the protection and intervention and Lord, we just thank you that you're our God. There's none like you. Before the day was, I am he. I will work, and none can stop me, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. I'm on orange, brother. Thank you. Glory to God. Father, as we look at these different ways, these voting guides that we put together here, Lord, we have one party killing little babies. Defunding the police, Lord, riots and violence, that's the the blue party, Lord, and we have a red party, Lord, with Donald J. Trump, and Lord, they're pro-life. Lord, we want our police supported in this nation. Lord, we want law and order. We want borders, Lord, because you believe in walls. You believe in borders, Lord. You when the nation of Israel was being divided up into the 12 tribes, Lord, there was boundaries, and you had them set those boundaries, Lord, and then there was a wall around Jerusalem, and Lord, that wall exists today with 12 gates, and Lord, the new heavenly Jerusalem, as it comes down, there will be walls, Lord. So we know that those walls, they protect, Lord, and they define borders, and Lord, we need our nation protected, and we ask you for divine protection, Lord. You're not in some distant place. You're not unaware, Lord, of where we are, and you're not unaware of the condition of our nation. You called us to the kingdom for such a time as this, and you said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, Lord, we need a revival. We need to turn from killing little babies. And Lord, we've been praying it all week. Forgive us as a nation, God, for slaughtering little innocent babies. And Lord, I was reading in the book of Jeremiah today where the nation of Israel, they had set up false gods and they'd set up the groves there, Lord, and they were offering little babies to the god of Molech, the god of fire. And you said it was an abomination in your sight. And God, so we ask you to forgive America for killing all those little innocent babies, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to give us 4 more years of Donald J. Trump, Lord, because he does have conservative values. I'm not afraid to stand up and say it. Lord, we need free speech in this nation. Lord, we need a smaller government. We don't need government running everything. Lord, we need conservative values. We need our Constitution, constitutional rights that were carved out by our forefathers. And Lord, many of those were clergy that helped do that. And Lord, our Constitution is based upon Judeo-Christian values. And Lord, we value our freedom. Lord, we're a nation, not a socialistic nation that promotes Marxism and then communism where the state becomes the God. No, we're a capitalistic nation where people can work and they can earn things and they can dream their dreams and they can reach their dreams, Lord, if they're willing to work and do it and prepare themselves for it. And Lord, we just praise you for the family. Lord God, you instituted the family. And Lord, we pray for our seed, and we pray that your mercy, Lord, that which is from everlasting to everlasting, and your righteousness that goes to the children's children, we pray that we will become a godly nation once again, Lord. Not just a remnant, Lord. It does take a remnant if you have through it. But God, we need our nation. Lord, we need it. An outpouring of your spirit. We need revival in America. God, we're rotten at the core when we look at some of the things we've done, Lord. And Hollywood is not the standard. And Lord, those people, Lord, they're pitiful out there. I ask you to send a revival into Hollywood. Glory to God. And to our government, Lord. Lord, your hand is not short that it cannot save. And you said, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. You said, my eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show myself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward me. Lord, find some perfect hearts here at Westmoreland. Lord, we've been meeting, and Lord, we're going to continue to meet. We're going to continue to pray. And Lord, I've been asking people, Lord, to pray and pastors to speak up. And Lord, we need for pastors to speak up. They need to give the clarion call, Lord. We cannot be idle. We cannot sit by and just let things go unheard, God. You said, I have set you as a watchman on the wall. I have purposed it. I have put you there. It's my hand. It's my voice that called you. And if you will speak up, I will be with you and I will help you and I'll establish my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, wake up the sleeping giant, the church. Glory to God. Lord, we just thank you. And we believe, Lord, that everyone has rights here, but Lord, everyone has a vote. But God, we're the silent majority. And Lord, we need to a voice in this nation. Your church needs to speak up. And God, we want our unborn protected. We want people that will salute the flag and sing the Star Spangled Banner again, respect our law enforcement officers, obey the laws of this land, appreciate our military. And Lord, we believe that all lives matter. Glory to God. The word, little song said, red and yellow, black and white.
Yes.
They're precious in His
Hallelujah.
Sight. And Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we agree. Lord, we should no longer be silent. Lord, I pray that your people that are saved, God, but they are blinded. They so politically entrenched in the Democrat Party, they cannot see. Lord, they just cannot see that they're killing little babies. Lord, and that I thought about the, everybody wanting to give, Lord, applaud to Ginsburg for what she did. Lord, she killed millions of little babies.
Yes.
Performed same-sex marriage. And Kamala Harris, Lord, she's already done that, and she's running as vice president. We don't want that cancer in our nation, God. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And God, we need help. And so you said, call upon me and I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we just praise you for helping us, Lord. Help us to respect one another. But help us, God, in this nation to speak out. To speak up. Lord, that you put a church here. And Lord, you said, I have made you a watchman on the wall. And you said, I want you to not to be a dead dog without a bark, but I want you to speak up. And God, that's what we're here for. We're declaring righteousness over this nation. Lord, we pray for the next Supreme Court justice, Lord. We pray that our president, Lord, that appointment he makes, that the Senate will come together and that thing will go like clockwork, and we'll get a conservative judge in there, Lord, that will, with godly values, that Lord, have for their pro-life. Lord, we need that in this nation. Lord, we don't need liberalism. We don't need communism. We don't need people marching in our streets defying them. Lord, I looked at the news sometimes and I see those riots, and Lord, it looks like a war zone to me. And Lord, it doesn't belong in our country. We fought on foreign shores, Lord, to keep that out of this nation. And I ask you, Father, to bless America from sea to shining sea. And we just thank you, God, for all you do. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll try this one in. Amen. Lord, I'm going to proclaim some words for the family while the families are gathering here. Lord, you said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he shall not depart from it. Lord, I pray for those children that are away from the Lord, families represented here. God, I pray you'll send your spirit, that they've been given the word of God. Let the spirit and the word bring forth of itself. Lord, I pray for our children, you said, should be taught of the Lord. And if we would teach them, great should be the peace of our children. And Lord, those that are away from God, Lord, they cannot have peace unless they know Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, you said, I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Lord, we did not raise our children to run with the party crowd. Lord, we brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and I prophesy, they shall prophesy. that the devil cannot have them. We command the powers of darkness broken off of our seed, off the godless seed in this nation, and Lord, off of families and off of homes. And Lord, we just release the power of your Spirit. And God, Lord, you said that we're not to weep about it, we're not to cry about it. You said your children shall come again from the land of the enemy. So we call them back. Well, we're not just speaking vain words into the air. I am declaring your word. I am speaking what you say. We're praying for this nation. Lord, families make up churches, and churches make up communities, and communities make up nations. And God, we're asking for an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, there are people all over that are praying. Lord, I got a text today from a man that's going to call prayer in his church on Saturday. Lord, we're already praying here. Lord, we're going to join with Franklin Graham and thousands of people at Washington, D.C. And God, we just join together, and we're coming up one concert of prayer. Lord, the body of Christ from all over the nation coming together, because, Lord, we realize that we need to pray. You said, call upon me and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. Lord, your righteousness is to the children's children. And Lord, we got, if you should tarry, we got children and we got grandchildren, some people great grandchildren. And we pray for them, oh God. Lord, we pray your promises. Lord, you said the promise. You said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to as many as are far off. So, Lord, you said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy children.
Praise God.
These are your promises, Lord. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? So, God, you put it in my heart to make some declarations and have your people here at Westmoreland, Lord, make declarations all week long over our families. And we're taking your words, your scripture, and we're praying the word back to you, Lord. I don't know a better way to pray, Lord, than to pray your word. Because, Lord, when we pray your word, we're praying your will. Hallelujah. And God, you not willing any should perish. All should come to repentance. So certainly our seed should be saved. Glory, 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 glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for your blessings. I want to encourage everyone that can come out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Please come. I know it's hard for everyone to be here. It's hard for anyone to be here. But please come if you can. 7 o'clock, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday, I hope this place will be full. I've been calling preachers, inviting preachers from other places to come. I said, I guarantee you one thing, you're walking to the presence of God if you come here and pray with us from 12 until 2. And some of you got children that are lost. Don't do all your praying at home. Don't miss this opportunity. It's your opportunity to have corporate prayer. One can put 1,000 demons to flight. Two can put 10,000. Can you imagine? We've had 13 and 12 people. We had to get the ox out of the ditch last night, but we had 12 people that showed up for prayer, and we were praying. Hallelujah. So God is listening, and God is wanting to know, how bad do you really want me to move in your nation? Just how bad do you really want me to move in your home and in your family? How bad do you want my blessings upon your life? And at the first of the year, we fasted and prayed for 21 days. We've already done that. And we set the course at the first of the year for the rest of the year. And I'm going to tell you something about prayer. And I learned this. When you pray, there are demon spirits that have been dispatched. And when you're praying God's will, you're praying against the will of the devil. And there are times in prayer that you're praying. I prayed for many sick people, And I've asked the Holy Ghost many times, I said, bring them to my remembrance. And I know that there's a critical moment, you could call it critical mass, when the spirit world unleashes more infirming diseases upon that person. And you have got to be suited up and be tuned into the Holy Ghost to hear the Spirit. And I say, Holy Ghost, wake me at night. If you put that person on my heart, wake me. I give you permission to wake me. And if we don't pray at that time, then the enemy moves in. But if we're suited up and got on the whole arm and we're listening to God, and then God says, pray now, that's when you ward off the enemy. It's just like in combat. You just got to know there's a time to relax and there's a time to fight. And we're in a battle right now, and we cannot be lax. We've got to pray. So I encourage you to come out and pray. It's up to you. It's your life. It's whatever you decide to do with it. And some people cannot get here. But I promise you one thing. It will change your life forever. And maybe even the course of this nation.
I know Tootie's watching. So if you will, just speak to her. Pray for her.
Amen. Tootie, we've got prayer cloths here. I've got two of them. They look pretty bad. They've been in my pocket while I've been preaching. And I take them out with my hand. And I just throw them up into the air out of your mother and dad. We release God's healing power. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. If Brother Elam is watching, we release your healing anointing. We release the power of God. Lord, you made us speaking beings. And you said, speak my word. Declare my word. Let my people know that my word, I watch over it to perform it. So, Lord, I say, be healed, be made whole. We acid reflux, we command you to go. God, you heal me of acid reflux. You heal Brother Pearson of acid reflux. Glory to God. We got testimonies in this place. And, Lord, you said, freely you've received, freely give. So I release that. And, Lord, we just praise you for your healing power. Let the healing waters flow. The church said in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Look at three people and tell them, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 blessed. And then blessed and highly favored of God. Lord, heal the social unrest in this nation.